Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects. So you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably
it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so awesome. Honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well. I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
And now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code about last night for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. This weekend, I will be in Ames, Iowa, on Thursday, October 3rd, at Stevens Auditorium with Dane Cook, Ames, Iowa, Thursday. And then Friday, I'll be at the State Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota with Dane Cook. That's Friday, October 4th. And then October 5th, we're at the Fillmore in Detroit, Michigan. That's Saturday, baby. October 5th, the Fillmore in Detroit, Ames, Iowa, Minnesota, Detroit, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Get your tickets at danecook.com. Brad Williams this weekend. We'll be in Spokane, Washington at the great Spokane Comedy Club. Go see Brad. Go support live comedy in Spokane. You guys don't have a lot of shit to do up there. And what you do got, it's pretty damn good. So go see Brad this weekend, Spokane Comedy Club, bradwilliamscomedy.com for tickets. Today's guest is a returning ALN favorite. You know him, you love him. It's Michael Rappaport, dude. You know him from his podcast, I Am Rappaport. The I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. You know him just from countless TV shows and movies. And Michael is quite the frequenter on Instagram and Twitter. Famous for his rants, his NBA talk, his Big Three involvement. You've seen him on every late night show and talk show and movies and TV. The dude, look up Michael Rappaport's IMDb. It's he's truly one of the most insanely talented and consistently working dudes of the last 20, 30 years, man. This episode's got it all. He's getting into stand-up now, which is dope because he's been really honing his comedic point of view for the last, I'd say, 30 years, and now he's finally letting that shit out on stage. And he's touring around the country. And this weekend, he's going to be at the Washington, D.C. Improv, which I will be at over New Year's, which I cannot wait, the D.C. Improv. So go see Rappaport this Thursday, I think through, this Friday through Sunday at the D.C. Improv. Tickets at MichaelRappaportComedy.com. And then next weekend, I'm sorry, the 17th through the 19th, Rapp's going to be at Caroline's on Broadway in Times Square, New York City. So go see Michael Rappaport this weekend at the D.C. Improv and the 17th through the 19th at Caroline's in New York City. And just enjoy this episode from the NBA talk to the stand-up talk to a story about how he was there when Snoop and Tupac met for the first time and smoked a blunt that Tupac rolled for Snoop. His first ever blunt that he smoked was from Tupac. It's fucking crazy, dude. It's one of my favorite apps we've done in a long time. Rap is the best. Go follow, support him. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, at ALN Podcast, at Funny Brad. Read the Room, my album is still out on Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, aboutlastnightpodcast.com for all your past and present eps. Of course, rate and subscribe the show on iTunes. Tell us where you get it, how you got into it. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. I've sent out a shit ton of Adam Ray merch to all you guys for just being great fans. I said this in eps in the past. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your favorite eps, how you got into the pod, why you love it, and I will fire off some fucking merch to you. And I've done that. Sent out probably over 100 things over the last month. So email us, aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, and take whatever you say and put it on the iTunes review chart, because that helps us climb the ladders and ranks of the podcast world. So many great eps coming up. Henry Winkler, Kelsey Cook, Nicole Arbor, Brent Morin, John Kite, Dana Carvey, John Stamos. The hits just keep on coming. So now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Michael Rappaport.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I love that you're doing stand-up. People don't know this too, and when you first start doing it, there's a handful of people that, I mean, you
hating ass bitches,
hating it,
and that's the name of your first comedy album, right? Hating ass bitches. Well, live from BET Comic View, it's Michael Rappaport presenting his new hour special, Hating Ass Bitches.
Hope. I can only hope so much. Yeah. Go ahead.
But there's certain people that like jump into this world that you just, as comics who've been doing it, you know, you have a pushback immediately of just like, oh, really? Like, what's going on? But like, I can pretty much attest, like, unanimously, like, people that know you, and especially now the podcasting and just every appearance you're ever on, whether it's a fucking Today Show with Hoda and Kathy Lee, or a Get Up, or The Jump, or like, you know, Power 106, it's like you're consistently funny and with a point of view, and it's like, and articulate. And it's like, what more do you need to on stage by yourself than right. those three things?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is going to be an easy transition. And people should know you started doing that, right?
I did start. I started out doing stand up when I was 19. I did first as a performer, as a professional performer. I started out doing stand up and I was young. I mean, it was 19 and I wasn't like one of these whiz kid stand ups like, you know, Chris Rock or Eddie Murphy or one of these kids that like got understood. I didn't understand the craft at all, and I didn't understand, you know, just what a show was and any of that stuff. And then I mean, I was so young, I was just finding myself. And then I from doing a couple of open mics, it just was lucky. From doing a couple of like Sunday night open mics at the Improv,
yeah,
like mm-hmm. where like Sunday was a different vibe, but like the early show Sunday, this is 1989, was like, kind of like they'll put anybody up there, especially early.
Gotcha.
And I went up there 5 minutes. And the first time I was on stage at the Improv, Gary Marshall, the director of Pretty Woman, Flamingo Kid.
League of Their Own, right?
League of Their Own. No, that's Penny.
Oh, that's Penny. Okay.
That's his
sister. I knew it was a Marshall.
and him and his assistant were there. She came out and introduced herself to me and she's like, you know, Gary wants to meet you because he's a New York. I was New York. Okay, he's a New York.
Wait, and, you're from New York?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
It slips right through.
I know. You have no idea.
Yeah, it just kind of blends in. But from that, you know, like he had said, well, I want you to do a play reading, you know, and mm-hmm. then I did a play reading. And then like a couple of weeks later, I went up and then I got. It was like from stand-up, I got kind of brought into acting, like straight acting.
Wow.
And I, in my head, at the time, I'm 19, you know, and at the time, I was like, I want to be an actor like Seinfeld or Eddie Murphy. Like, I want to, like, be, you know, like, there wasn't really sort of a format. But once I started, the first time I ever read a scene, like, sides from a scene, like, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, this is, like, fuck the stand-up. Fuck every, like, this is what I
straight up acting.
This is you're what not, I want to do. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what comes natural to me. This is more natural than any sport. Like, I had loved basketball, grew up wanting to be a great basketball player. But, like, as soon as I remember, like, the first time I looked at the top, I was like, this is, it was like as if you were like a math person and you were like, oh, this is easy to me. Like, it made sense to me. So then I started acting. I got, you know, a lot of good stuff early.
Did Gary sense that too when you did a read? Did you do a reading for him or
no? Yeah. I mean, he didn't say I was 19. He's just like, oh, he liked
your vibe, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you're New York kid. He's like very, you know, like, oh, you just like got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
And that was like a sort of a confidence builder and like, I can do this. And then, you know, I started acting and I've acted, you know, and I'm always going to continue acting. But like in the last year and a half, from doing my podcast and the encouragement of other comics, it was, you know, Whitney Cummings was like, you got to do stand-up.
Oh, really?
And I had been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And from doing, you know, like your pod, Bill Burr's pod.
Yeah.
You know, and like just started.
And being able to mix it up with comics.
Mix it up
and you're like, oh, I can hang.
Right? Yeah, but that I've always.
That's
been,
always had. Yeah,
yeah, but like stand-up is a different thing. So then, like, Whitney was like, just come to me at the comedy lab, at the lab at the Improv.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There'll be 30 people there. Just MC for me. Just go up there. You could literally say, here's Whitney Cummings, or you could bullshit around. Just grab the mic and just.
Wow.
So I went up. I did like 5 minutes of just bullshitting her with the crowd. And like, I'm so nervous. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and it went better than I expected. And then they were like, come back, do the lab the next week. So I kind of thought things were in, you know, for like about the last 10 months, I just been going hard. And, you know, and I know that like some comedians are like, you know, blah, 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 Ryan, you didn't do the road. I'm like, listen, motherfucker, if you show up on a set when I'm acting, I'm not breaking your fucking nose. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, yo.
Two auditions in if you book something.
Yeah. And, you know, like, if I see you on a set, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you're a, like, it's like, it is what it is.
Yeah,
it's like,
dude.
You know,
there's enough for everybody. Get yours.
That's the thing I don't get about comics.
There's only one Michael Rappaport. So
there's
it's
only
not like
one Adam Ray. Like, me and Brad were just talking, like, he's on tour. Like, I'm following his.
Yeah,
you know, like he was just at Caroline's. Yeah. I'm going to Caroline's. I'm like, yo, when he's there, kill the shit, sell out.
Yeah,
when you're there, kill the shit. Like, why are you worrying about me?
I know, dude.
The fuck are you worrying about me?
Well,
for?
That's just an insecurity if people do want to start going down that path. But but there's something too about what is it about stand up that you get a kick out of more so than acting? Like, like you said, there was this overwhelming feeling when you read your first sides. What did you get that when you got that first laugh on stage?
The laugh, the getting the laughs. The thing that I love, one of the things that I'm loving about stand-up is the unpredictability, the good and bad unpredictability.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what the fuck you're going to get. I still haven't figured out, I mean, I wonder what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is in your hands? How much of it is in the crowd's hands?
Oh,
like,
man.
What do you think?
See,
and I think there's difference when you're on the road versus not, you know, like versus you're at the Laugh Factory here,
right, local. Right.
What is your take on that?
Well, like, I know that when I'm on stage, I like to think that it's all up to me, that I'm in control of everything. And yes, a crowd member can go a little off, but then it's my job to steer the ship, you know, get it back on the road. But hey, if the entire audience collectively just decided to fuck your shit up that night,
which
happens, and just started talking. Like, I once had a guy walk up on stage. Our buddy Norm is here. He's from Baltimore. This happened in Baltimore. A guy walked up on stage, stood on stage next to me, and just started dancing. Just started doing the Dougie. and I started insulting him and being like, hey, you know,
you that, gotta roll
don't, with it. Don't fucking do that, and look at how bad you're dancing. Da, da, da. But it bounced off him like bullets off of Superman, where he just stood there and just kept dancing.
Well, in my defense, I was fucked up, and I wanted to showcase the moves I've been working on at
Bar
Mitzvahs.
He kept dancing, and I just kind of looked at the club owner like, you're going to do anything? And he's like, well, use it. And I'm just
they assume that
yeah, and I'm like, I'm done.
Want
I'm
it,
done.
Or that, like, and the audience does too. This happens a lot for me when a crowd work thing will happen, and then I'll, you know, handle it. I've been doing it for a while, and then afterwards, like, man, thank God that guy was there, huh? I'm like, no. I just have gotten good at handling bullshit and made it funny. So thank God I was here. Yeah. I guess for
but
you.
But in general, what do you think? Like
the crowd collectively sometimes can be shit. Where it's look, there's been nights at the store where it's like, you know, right up top at 9, they're ready to go and they're fire. And then the next night, like, they're just like, nah, we'll probably be good to go around 10:30. You know, so collectively, you sometimes can get a group. I think that is just. Having a good time, but not
or not in it. It doesn't mean you suck, because like the thing that's interesting about it to me is that
you're getting people from all over the world.
You get people all over the world. Like this week, I went up 4 times this week, and I would say 3 of them were dope, and then one night they weren't dope for anybody, and I'm like, I'm doing the same shit, relatively the same shit. And like that's the thing where I say the unpredictability that I like, I don't like. I love, like, you know, the spontaneity of it.
What do you do in those moments when you feel, because I feel like those are the times, obviously, and that's the up and down ebbs and flow of stand-up that I think we all love, where it's like you got that one, you get into a nice groove, you're not getting better if you're crushing all the time. Right. So it's like when you have those moments where you're like, ah, fuck, all right, well, what did I do to kind of right the wrong in that moment? Like, did I, you know, go into the crowd more because they weren't connecting with my material and try to bring them together from some organic moments and then go into material? Or did I try some new shit? Or did I just, you know, go to the true and tried stuff and kind of like
go into your act and just keep, and let get that, the fuck off the stage.
Exactly.
Like,
you know?
Be a pro. And you never fucking know, right? Yeah, and that's what I love about it. I love... So when you say what I like about it, like, I like that unpredictability of it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, there's also like the immediate response.
Sure.
You can't get anything like that.
Can't get like that. And as fun as acting is, you act and then it comes out 8 months later, 6 months later.
And
then
you have no control over it.
The editor could have fucked you up. The different camera shots.
All
the way
it.
Thing. Yeah. There's so many things that can fuck you up that you have no control over. But then... stand up, it's like, all right, it's just you. It's just you. Live action. Like, we could talk about how crowds are bad, but at the same time, it's like, all right, if it goes wrong, it's probably you.
Right. Right.
But if it goes right, it's you as well.
Right.
So that part's fun as well. And like, even when you know that you're good at it, you don't know how good the crowd's gonna be, how good they're gonna respond.
Right.
So it is. It's really exciting. You could have a heckler. You could not. It's never the exact same show twice.
I haven't gotten heckled, like we're in the term of heckle, like where somebody's coming at you yet.
Yeah.
Like
I've
had people, you know, they're like on your team and, you know, they'll say, talk about this or talk about that. But I haven't had that thing where like people are like, where you're like, oh shit. You know, where it's kind of like where
they may be coming at you with like, you, Mike, you're wrong about Trump, man. He's a good dude.
Trump or
you're the asshole.
LeBron or Knicks or, you know, and that's kind of like, you know, they're just like, it's almost like they're shouting out requests.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
You are in a unique position where it's like, you have like established yourself with this, like, and I think it is so great for stand up, having opinions and being able to talk about anything and everything, to where it's almost like people straight up do, when they are yelling out things, it's like they do just want to hear you rant on, which is kind of great because
talk about,
like,
my cat.
Yeah.
Some shit.
The cat's got a weird pussy. Right. What do you think about that, Mike?
Right.
But just having that as a way also to, like, maybe somebody does yell something out, you do, because it's your instincts to go off on a rant on it, and maybe you get like 2-3 minutes and a new bit out of it, right? Do you ever think that way? Or
yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, and because I've been on the road recently, I just started. You know, I mean, I think that there's a different approach to, you know, our local clubs here in Los Angeles, which are like our home base clubs, the Improv, Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, those big three clubs, you know, as opposed to when you're on the road, you know, like how you approach different nights here, how you approach different shows on the road. But I just love it. I love it. I think it's such an interesting time for stand-up. There's so many dope stand-ups. There's fucking, there's a stand-up for whatever you're into.
Isn't it great?
Gay, black, straight, lesbian, bi.
Maybe all in one, too.
Free. It could be all fucking, you know, there's everything. So I think that's dope, and I think it's cool. Like, I dig it, and it's fun. I've always been such a fan of it. And, you know, like now, well, like, you know, you have, like, Chappelle with this new episode, this new special he put out, the Sticks and Stones where he, like, took the shit and everything he's done and all the great things that he's done, and there's like a list of all great things he's done, and he almost like outdid himself.
It was nuts.
It was so great.
And it's so it's such a, like you say, there are stand-ups for literally whatever you're into. So if someone is doing a type of comedy that you're like, that's not for me, that's fine. There's another comedian.
There's a list of them.
There's a list of them. Go do what. Go see.
You don't like white guy with a shaved head? We got white guy with a mullet for you.
Exactly.
There you go.
Got it all. There's every fucking version.
We should mention. So you got dates. DC Improv coming up, October 4th through the 6th.
Yep.
And then
yep.
Caroline's the 17th through the 19th.
I'm hyped about both of those.
Those are two of the best clubs in the country.
Why are they so good?
Well, I mean, I'm doing DC Improv for the first time over New Year's. Oh, but the first time I did it was, and Brad's done it 10, 12 times now. Yeah. And it's arguably your favorite club. Yeah.
It's in the top five.
It's underground, so you get that downstairs. Anytime a club is downstairs, you feel like, at least for me, I'm like, oh, we shouldn't be down here. We're all down. Like, people went downstairs.
Right. Oh, that's good to know.
But the acoustics are great. It's low ceilings. Yep. You're going to fucking...
And it's a smart and it's a smart crowd where I feel like there's some cities that just their comedy audiences are just locked in. Like, they know what's happening in the world.
And they want to laugh, but they're also, like, educated enough to...
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, but they also go along with blue stuff. It's a very just like, yo, man, we just want to have a good time.
The 4th and the 5th and the 6th. 4th, 5th, 6th.
4th, 5th, and 6th.
4th, 5th, and 6th at the DC Improv.
And then Caroline, 17th through the 19th.
Which is going to be... That's my hometown.
Yeah. I was going to say, dude, that's going to be a big... Are you hitting up people from back in the day to come out?
I'm telling them, don't fucking come out. Like, you know, like my family and friends, you know, sure. I put out invite to my principal from the third grade who kicked me out of PS 158. Please come to the show. Caroline, 17th, 18th, 19th, Mr. Flanagan, I would like you to come. I would like my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Zook, who shamed me in math class. You can come too, you
Wait,
motherfucker.
Wait, shaved you?
Shamed.
Oh, okay. Shamed. I was like, dude, this
wow.
Guy,
yeah.
That motherfucker.
Five times
me.
Five is 24. This is what you get.
Lay down.
He shamed me. He shamed me.
Yeah.
But the 17th, 18th, the 19th, the Carolyn, that I'm high. I'm going to walk
Times Square,
the,
baby.
That's my shit.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, like right in the thick of where everything happens.
You're around the street from Hamilton.
Like, I can't wait. Yeah. I cannot wait.
Is are our sets, have you adjusted? Because like you said, when you first started, you were just doing 15, 20 minute workout sets, grinding like all of us in town. And so when you got that opportunity, did it happen pretty quick, by the way? Did people jump on board and go, oh shit, Rappaport's doing stand-up, let's...
Yeah, I mean, I just started touring. I just started going outside of Los Angeles. So I've just been working. Obviously, the first time, you know, you do long, like 50 minutes, an hour, like, you know, the thing that I've realized about that time is just like to do anything for an hour straight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're whatever the fuck you're doing.
Yeah,
it takes
fucking eating ice cream.
Fucking
either
eating
way.
Ice cream. You know, watching a game. It doesn't matter. Like the concentration to be on stage. That's the thing to just keep your concentration and like stay focused.
Yeah, you have to.
But loose focus because you can't like you know.
You can't be a robot up there and just do your shit. Like if a plate drops, if a table's talking, if they're not reacting to your stuff, and
you forget a word or you lose your train of thought. I mean, it's like your live podcast. I mean, look, there's probably always an extra safety blanket with your co-host and guests. Like when we did the one in Seattle with Kemp and then I was even in the audience helping you get Q&As. It was a collaborative. You were still driving the ship,
right?
Very much so, like in charge and keeping everything moving and on track. But like there was still like you feel a little extra sense of security.
Absolutely.
But when it's just you,
yeah. But it's different. Like a live podcast is different than a stand-up show. In terms of like, yeah, there is no bailout. Like you can't say, what do you think?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
What do you think? You know, it's
co-host or whatever.
But you know, like I dig it. Like I love it. I'm having fun with it.
What are you doing on the road? Like, are you getting into a routine of like hanging or?
No, I don't do shit.
Just sleep.
I'm like,
get ready.
I'm like on the road. Like I'm like, I get in, do my shit. I usually take a nap, check to see what channels are on the TV in the hotel, and I go do my shit. Come, I'm not like, I don't do shit.
Yeah, you've done
I literally don't do shit.
Yeah, it's really interesting because there has been people before that have like done acting first and then kind of transitioned to stand up, but.
Just say Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven is the one that people had that scrutinized over. Like Jeremy Piven, who I like, he's the one that people have a problem with. Which is the Jeremy Piven effect. Like
here's the thing is I feel like in your acting in the other things that you've done, where they say that comics it takes like 10 years to develop your comedic voice. Even though you haven't been doing stand-up, I still feel like you've been developing your comedic voice.
Oh, yeah, dude.
For sure.
Like, I feel like...
For sure.
Yeah, like, I feel like someone could yell something out, and I know how Michael Rapaport's going to react to that.
Right, right, right.
Usually angry.
Right. But
which is kind of great, because, like, if you think about it, if you ever want to hire writers, you could pretty much just, like... close your eyes and point into at a sidewalk, and one of those guys would be like, if he knows you, be like, oh yeah, dude, I know what. I can give you 15 minutes on my plugs.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So you, unlike other people, like I feel like you come in here with a loaded gun already. Like,
I got
you
a
know what
gun.
To do.
I got a loaded gun.
Yeah. So like, and like you say, that's why your fans are yelling stuff out at you to be like, hey, talk about the thing.
Right.
Because you kind of already have. Bits in a way, it's like you ranting about things
for sure.
So you kind of have a really good base to start to start from.
What are you finding that is you enjoy talking about? Like, did you try to feel an extra sense of like, all right, I talk a lot of sports, right? I'm known for that. Do I want to try to like expand my horizons as far as like?
I mean, the thing that I feel like the best comedians. You know, it's so crazy because there are so many comedians, it's like there's really no subject that hasn't been touched by someone.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everybody. Like, you have all, like, the, you know, now it's like the Chappelle special and the Bill Burr special and even, you know, the Whitney Cummings special. Everybody's in their version talking about the politically correctness and the woke and the this and that. Like, so many people are covering that. You know, I think that the only way to separate yourself is the... truly personal stories.
Yes,
that's the only way to really separate yourself.
1,000% agree.
Right?
Yeah,
because
or
something topical
you.
With your point of view on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, just in terms of topics, because if whether it's you like Trump, you don't like Trump. Mm. Whether it's fuck snowflakes or snowflakes are great, or now.
By the way, who's
white,
saying fuck snowflakes?
I'm just like
I've seen some sexy ass snowflakes.
but like white people talking about other white people is like a common. It's just the thing for me that I'm trying to crack is to make the show as personal as I possibly can. I got all my. Shit that, I have to hit Trump, which is a funny thing because, the politics, that it's, especially now.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I mean, it's really, like, down the fucking line.
Yeah.
And even if you're pro-Trump, I mean, if you're anti-Trump, some people are afraid to laugh, about shit. Because, when I don't do it a lot, but I do hit him, and I hit him fucking hard.
Yeah, sure.
And I hit, I hit him hard as I can because I... don't like that motherfucker. And I also just think there's so much humor.
And if you're gonna do it, you gotta go for it. Because
if you
pussy foot around it, then you're making people definitely uncomfortable because they're like, are you gonna like? Yeah.
I mean, he hits, so you gotta hit him. But dude. I hit all of them. I hit fucking smoking Joe Biden and fucking Bernie Sanders and Kamala. I hit all of them because I think they're all fucking yahoos. I mean, even AOC, she's like, you can't touch about Alexandria. Her. I talk about There's all of it, but I'm still finding out what I gravitate to, and because it's stand up and it's really sort of an endless amount of things you could discuss and areas and things.
That's what's great about it.
That's
and
how
literally in a given day, like I'm sure there's times when you're taking a nap or flipping through channels, whatever it is pre-show, you have one thought that might lead to something. And you're like, dude, I can try that tonight, right?
And it might not even exist a week later because, you're doing something that's topical, then you're like, this won't
the shelf
this
life.
This isn't gonna last past next week, but it's great for this week.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just because it's a little fucking thing. I'm so new to it and I love it so much. I don't have any any sort of like, keys to the fucking castle or sort of like theories on it. I just am enjoying it. I'm enjoying I really do love it, man. I mean, like, this week I went up a few times, and, like, I just, like, I love it. You know, I really have
love being around the club, too. I can tell, man, when I see it the hallways of the store, like,
it's always a good
you're
hang.
Mixing it up. Everybody, like, wants to, like, chum you up, and you're very, like, you know, like, not walking around like, yeah,
you're,
that's right, I'm fucking here. Like,
hell
it's this
no,
is,
man.
You're engaged.
I comics, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, like, there's... Like comics is like I was thinking like I was having this conversation with somebody. Somebody was they brought up Carrot Top and he was saying he's this, he's that, and I was like, yo, this motherfucker. People come to see him. I don't give a fuck who it is or where it is. It's Vegas, and they laugh.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't give a fuck if you think it's stupid or gimmicky.
Yeah,
this is comedy.
Yeah,
whether you think it's funny or us as comics think it's funny, motherfuckers. It's like if it's Burger King, Ruth Chris's, Taco Bell,
it's food.
Motherfuckers come to see this motherfucker.
Yeah, they're eating.
So now that I'm doing like I respect like some people I like more, and then you get to know them. Like I don't really like this prick and this person, but if you get up there and you're able to make motherfuckers laugh, I gotta go, yo, I respect you. I don't give a fuck if it's hacky or it's gimmicky or you got fucking props, you're juggling fucking chainsaws.
Yeah.
If motherfuckers
if you're entertaining,
think that shit's funny, they think that shit's
that's
funny.
That's it, it's always really shocking to me when like a comic will say something like, man, Larry the Cable Guy is not funny. I'll be like, bro sold out a football stadium and made him laugh.
Why are you worrying about it?
You can't say he's not funny.
Yo, it's whatever it is.
You go be funny.
You go sell a football stadium out. So,
are there guys that you're truly get fired up to watch that either you're going to follow or if you got to bounce to another spot, you're like, oh, let me just kick it a couple more minutes to see this guy?
I mean, there's still people that I mean, there's still so many of them. But I mean, like, because it's still so new to me. I love Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
She makes me laugh.
So funny.
Because it's so dirty.
Yeah.
And it's so inappropriate.
And she's so raw. I mean, I just feel like she thinks it and then says it. There's like no real filter.
Yeah.
She's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. Yeah. There's the whole cast of characters.
Before you got into it, were there people that you would go
Chris Rock,
go see?
I mean, fucking, you know, I used to, when I first started doing stand-up, I mean, I saw Seinfeld 2, 3, 4 times a week at the Improv.
Oh,
Jay Leno. Bill Maher. 100 times. Kevin Pollak. I used to see Rodney Dangerfield. You know, Damon Keenan. Wayans.
Yeah.
Robert Townsend.
Holy shit.
Sarah Silverman. You know, Elaine Boozler. I seen all of them. I watched so much of it, you know. And I
love even the comics you just described. There weren't three comics in a row that were the same.
No.
Like, it was just, there was all these different perspectives, whether it be white, black, female, dirty, slow, one-liner stories. Like, that ran the gamut.
Yeah.
And so that...
Yeah, going from Elaine Boozler to Meteor Man, that's...
that's that awesome. Movie?
Robert Townsend?
Robert Townsend, Meteor Man? Yeah, come on, man.
Of course. So good.
Now, when you're on stage, are you talking about the Real Housewives, or is that just a Twitter thing?
Yeah. No, you know what?
Because you tweet a lot about the Real Housewives.
They need to have you on the show.
I want to be a Real Housewife. Like, if I wasn't married, I would try to date a Real Housewife.
Is this the new version of I Want to Be a Toys R Us Kid?
That would be dope. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. You could take your fucking Game of Thrones. You could take all your fucking, all your fancy shows.
Yeah.
All your highfalutin.
Black Mirror. Strange
Black
Things.
Black Mirror. Your Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
These are all great. But, and this is no gimmick. I love the Real Housewives. Real Housewives of New York, Atlanta, Jersey, Potomac, Beverly Hills. That's my shit. And part of it is it's me and my wife thing, but those are the shows. Like, November 3rd is the premiere of Real Housewives of Atlanta. November 6th is the premiere of Real Housewives of New Jersey. I love them.
When's your kid's birthday, though?
Yeah.
You know, you only got so much room for the important things in life.
I love
What them. Is it about them?
You know what it is? Because you guys love sports. It's literally like sports for women.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high. There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD, And it's helped immensely, which is big time, because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day. And at night, kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC-free. And there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have been like, try these pens. We got these flavors and these, you can put strawberry. Root beer foot. Like, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best out of any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KoiCBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf.
The dry, it's like a good soap opera.
Yeah.
It's literally like if you like a soap opera, like if it's Days of Our Lives, Dallas, whatever you're into. And there's so the hysteria and the humor and the how upset they get.
Yeah.
And I don't judge them. Like, I'm not like, look how, I love these fucking shows, how you would love a character on your favorite show. So
yeah.
I fuck with the shows.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't talk about, I talk about the Housewives on the show, but I talk about my love for reality TV. Because in my opinion, reality TV, we're in a golden age of television with the Black Mirrors and all these shows. But reality TV with the Dr. Pimple Popper.
Dude, that's my mom's shit, dude.
That's my shit.
She got me into
shit.
That. You got to kick with my mom, man. Yo, Puddin, Rappaport, and you need to get a hang
Dr.
on the books.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Dude, I literally, late night, I'll see her scrolling
through. Have you seen this?
I've seen it. It's ridiculous.
Dude, these people come in, they're like, I think I have a foot on the back of my neck. And she's like, no, that's a blackhead, bitch. And then she goes in with just like.
And the glee she gets.
Dude, she gets so happy.
The crazier and like, you know, she's got the splash. This is television.
This is television. They have things that are like older than they are on their bodies. They're like, I'm 48 and I have a 52-year-old zit.
Yo, and for me, like Dr. Pimple Popper, when you're watching it, like, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, like, that's television.
I know.
So all that shit, my 600-pound life.
Wow. How do you get through that one?
90-day fiancé, all that shit. I fuck with all of it hard.
Dude, they need to, these shows need to get together and like do something where they, you remember how like when Urkel would go on Full House?
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta
get a pimple pop.
Yeah, you gotta have my 600-pound desperate housewife.
Well, I think at one point when
my 600-pound
there was a thing.
Yo, I'm not gonna use that.
I do all run about those
shows. Yours. I fucking love those shows.
Oh my! Oh, you have a whole thing about all of them. Yeah,
and just because I love them, and then I go into I love those shows. I fuck with those shows hard. So it ain't no gimmick. It ain't no bullshit. I love
it's crazy because like. My wife watches some of these shows, and sometimes I'll just sit down and be like, all right, I'll watch your show with you, whatever. And then like 15 minutes in, I'm like, she's a bitch.
That's what happened
she's
to me.
She's not like
you get that, invested that, immediately.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me.
I'm on this show called, she got me into the show called Tattoo Fails, where like where I'm it's on MTV, and these two people come on the show, and they're like they're siblings, they're a couple, they're friends, and they get to pick tattoos for the other person. The other person puts on a blindfold, they get tattooed, they don't know what's going on their body, and all of a sudden they have to look at it. And now they're like, are they still going to be a couple after someone just tattooed a mouth putting teeth marks on the eggplant emoji on their hip?
That's a fucking show.
That was a real tattoo. Someone said, you give horrible blowjobs, so I gave you this tattoo of a mouth putting teeth marks on an eggplant emoji so you would learn to give better blowjobs. That happened.
As a reality show person, yeah. I have to judge that. I'm judging that show because I feel like I put enough work in, like where I could judge. I have to judge that. I'm sort of looking down on that.
What about like the house? Like you fuck with like Treehouse Hunters? Or
I dip in them. Listen, Tiny I just rattled off five shows I watch religiously. Yeah. Plus, I got my sports. So some people are like, you don't. I'm like, listen. Yeah. I can only watch.
There's only so much time in the day.
There's only so
dude.
Much I could fucking watch, and then try to throw in a regular show. Here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I fuck with Treehouse Hunters. I fuck with some of the food shows. My wife watches that.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, when you're with somebody, you know, that's sort of like, you know, she'll give and take and she'll watch football with me sometimes or basketball with me.
Yeah.
You know, so but I fell into it from my wife because I was always like, what is this shit? What is this shit? And then I was like, oh, okay. Who is this person? Oh, and then I fuck with the Housewives hard.
Now when you're watching sports.
Yes.
Are you able to watch sports and are you like calm and focused or are you full Rappaport when you're watching a game?
You can't be full crazy all the time.
Okay.
But you know, NBA playoffs, yeah. I'm you know, teetering.
There's nothing better. The intensity and stakes in the NBA playoffs to me is like...
I love it.
I can't compare. I mean, maybe March Madness, but not really, dude, because it's just...
It depends on what... It's like whatever you're into.
Yeah.
Some people are into college football. They're crazy.
Yeah, like you're right.
It's whatever you're into, but you love NBA. Yeah. I love fucking NBA.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs and football, but when my... Like, because, you know, I'm heavy in my fantasy football.
Yeah, sure.
Like those are the two things, and just regular football games. Like, that is my shit. Like, and because of fantasy, my diversity of who I like, who I don't like, it's changed the way I watch regular football when I'm able to separate it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's weird that now that because of fantasy football, because I play as well.
Do you fuck with it?
Yeah. Now you're like, wow. I could watch Jaguars versus Titans
and enjoy
and there's something on the line.
You're totally invested in the Jaguars and the Titans.
I'm like, don't throw to Delanie Walker. Right. I need him to get 2 points.
Right. Right. So that's the thing I love about fantasy and that it opened my head out to like Delanie. Delanie Walker's like, in my opinion, to me, he's a family member.
Oh yeah.
I love Delanie. I don't have him this year, but I had him a couple of years, and that's like
Isn't that weird?
I love Delanie Walker.
That you can like draft guys like, dude, you were good for me last year.
And then you're done.
I'm going to draft you again this year. Or like there's some guys where I feel like I feel some sort of loyalty to them for some weird reason.
They're literally like they've won you.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't win it. Like I've only won one season-long championship.
Yeah.
But if Delanie Walker won me one game 4 years ago, as far as I'm concerned, we're family members. Like you're part of my like I love. If I ever saw Delanie Walker on the side of the road, you know, in a snowstorm, and I shouldn't stop, and I knew it was Delanie Walker, I'm gonna stop because of that game that you won in 2017, week six.
It's so hard because I'm actually friends with Christian McCaffrey. I'm that's my boy. That's my friend.
Yo.
I love this dude. And there's sometimes.
How do you know that motherfucker?
Because I performed one time for the Stanford football team.
When he was there.
When he was on Stanford. And I'm a big Broncos fan. We talked about his dad, Ed.
And
so,
he's the same height, pretty much.
His arms are fucking ripped.
He's jacked, huh?
He's beyond jacked. So, like, it's hard for me not to text him after a game, be like, bro, you just won me my fantasy football game. Like, I don't want to text him that. Like, but
yo.
I just want to text him, like,
does
great
he fuck
game.
With your podcast?
What's up?
Does he fuck with your podcast?
Yeah.
Yo, McCaffrey, listen, I fuck with you hard. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't think you were going to wind up being the great NFL player you've turned into.
Yeah.
I fuck with you hard, and I fuck with you hard this year in fantasy football. I wish you nothing but luck your entire career, but specifically this season, I wish you extra luck. But in general, in your whole career, I want you to stay healthy, but I fuck with Christian McCaffrey hard.
He's the best.
Yo, I fuck with him.
He's a beast,
a white guy with a motor.
I know, dude.
And he's a little motherfucker. Yep.
Dude,
takes hits.
How big is he?
He is. Here's the thing. We did, I know you've done this as well, but we did the Celebrity All-Star Game this year.
Yes.
And
did you watch us? Did you watch
us?
Yeah.
You guys were all right. Yeah.
Adam was good. I
had 9 points.
I was shit. He knows. He knows the stat line.
9 points, one charge on a WNBA player.
He came. Christian came to the game because the game was in Charlotte, and this is the actual All-Star game. He's walking around
after the season.
This was after.
February,
yeah. He's walking around that stadium in the city he plays in, where he is one of the top two stars on the team. No one recognized him.
No way.
That's because of football.
No one.
And he's a handsome guy. It's because of football.
Yeah.
This no helmet shit is bullshit.
Yeah
they got to get like a clear mask or something to where we can know the players.
You know what? It's bullshit. I don't agree with that in the NFL. They make them, if you take your helmet off on the field, you get fined.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
That's why they never take their helmet off on the field.
Right.
If I score a touchdown and I take my helmet off, I'm fined.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Brad fucking knocks the shit out of me. And I'm like trying to get my cohesion, and I take my helmet off, I'm fined.
Yeah,
it's like this, you know, like it's like the league is before you, and I get the league is before you, but it's like I went to a New Orleans Saints practice.
Mm-hmm.
I had Alvin Kamara, I had Willie Snead, and like a couple of other players on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize these motherfuckers with their helmets off.
Right.
When they put their helmets on, I was able to go, oh shit.
That's crazy.
They're warming up in front of you. And you don't know. Like,
I mean, you know Cam Newton, you know Brady now,
sure,
you know
Edelman. The press conferences.
But like Christian McCaffrey, like if he wasn't on my, like there's so many
that
of my.
That sucks, by
like,
the
Delaney
way.
Walker. That's why I said if I recognized it was Delaney Walker. Like I don't know what Delaney Walker looks like by just sight. When he's in his uniform and I see those pistols, Delaney. I see those fucking guns.
Do you think they're missing out on branding
of
opportunities?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Like if McCaffrey scored, did some dope play, and then took his helmet off and looked right in the camera
handsome
and was like, Old
white
Spice,
guy,
baby.
Blue eye, blonde hair with a motor. Christian McCaffrey he should be selling cars.
Wow.
He should be giving away babies.
Yeah.
Giving away. You want a baby? Take one.
Yeah.
I fuck with him hard, yo, McCaffrey. I DM'd him. DM'd him twice. I was like, yo, I fuck with you hard. He hasn't responded yet.
I was going to say, how many.
I love that motherfucker.
How many Hail Marys have you thrown to athletes or non-athletes just respecting the game or trying to reach out for the pod or whatever?
All the time.
Yeah.
A lot of fantasy football players. Like,
okay, cool.
Because if they win me games, it could be just a random dude.
Yeah.
But if you win me a game, you could expect to hear from me like, yo, I fuck with you. You know, like I fuck, like Lamar Jackson, I fucked with him last year, but I fuck with him hard this year, hard. But like the football players, fantasy football, because it's so, like basketball players, because I'm so close with the NBA in a way, mm-hmm. and I know so many basketball players, it's one thing, but football players, it's different because it's not my world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big college football fan. I love the NFL. But when I have a relationship with you via my fantasy football team, and I know these guys are like, yo, my man, I'm not on your fantasy football.
Yeah.
You're on my fantasy football team. McCaffrey, you're my guy. Okay? You're my fucking dude. So when I have that relationship and they kick ass for you, I'll reach out. I'll hit them up. And if you're really lucky and they're really kicking ass, I say if they're really lucky, and I make a video going crazy, that's you know, that's like the extra thing. Because if like Lamar Jackson last week, he was sick.
That's it. We're living in such an amazing time where not only can fans reach out to their to their favorite people, but other celebrities, other athletes. If you got that blue check mark,
dude, I DM'd Katy Perry inviting her to my show in New York. No response.
No response.
Took the chance. Saw she was there.
Why not?
She was like, just got out of Dear Evan Hansen. I was like, why don't you come on over to Gotham Comedy
and
Club?
It still hasn't been read yet. It's unread.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
But
you're married and you got a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would be if I'm married too. If I was single in this day and age, like, I don't even know.
Dangerous.
What,
Yeah.
And how do you, like, there's no bars, there's, like, no clubs, like, when you go to, everybody's on there, like, I don't know what you would do.
Yeah, it's like, and now I'm...
We were talking to GP about that. He was
about
just
who,
like...
To who?
Gary Payton.
Yeah.
About with social media and stuff. He's like, dude, he's like, I would just be fucked. He's
he'd
like,
be
everybody...
nuts. Yeah, he'd dude. Be crazy. If you
like,
were
back
Gary
in the day,
Payton.
People, like, you know...
And you're scared because, like, people can screenshot
know,
at any time and then just post and,
yo.
Like... Yeah.
No, and it, like, because I sent you guys a dick pic, but I expect, like,
sure,
you're not gonna fucking post that
no,
shit, right?
No,
that's a desktop screensaver.
Yeah, no, but that's no. Like, you're not gonna post it. No, like, desktop no, screensaver. No.
I jerked off to it, then I deleted it like a gentleman.
Thank you.
Okay, that's what you
just
do.
Yeah, just keep. I mean, you don't even have to delete it. Just don't send it out.
Yeah, just keep it around for
that's
a rainy day.
That's how I said, yo, I want to come on the podcast. Yeah. Dick pic, and you're like, oh, is this rap? What's up?
Yeah. We recognized it. We didn't have to see
you
the name.
I don't even have your name saved
hair.
In
yeah.
my phone.
Just
I just
read,
saw
like,
the
red
pubes.
Pubes yeah, like Rock yeah. Mike Rap.
It was like you were Santino, and we rolled the yeah. dice.
You
and then
thought
we
right?
You.
Yeah,
yeah. So now we're talking. Now that we're talking fantasy football, and you're obviously a New York guy, Daniel Jones,
Danny Dynasty. He did good.
What's how
week
by the way,
one week down?
How great do you think he's feeling right now that New York booed him?
I'm fucking, I talked crazy shit.
Every pundit was like, the Giants are dumb, they're nuts,
they're
stupid.
Who the fuck is this guy?
And then all of a sudden, he gets his shot and has the comeback.
Beautiful week one. And listen,
right?
We're fucked. Saquon's hurt. Mm-hmm. But at least we got something, like, you know, between football and basketball, you know, those two sports, right? Obviously, baseball, we're all right. But, you know, we got the Brooklyn Nets. But, you know, the Giants are in a... They're a deep
transition.
We got to move. We got to move. I went crazy when that Ben McAdoo benched Eli a couple. I went nuts.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
it was a very
because he stopped his streak.
I went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I did a crazy rant on him. Fucking McAdoo, the wackadoo. Fucking you know, blah blah blah. But we got to move forward. So
yeah.
I'm sure Daniel Jones, DJ, as we like to call yeah. him, Danny Dimes, Danny Dynasty. You know, I'm sure he's feeling good. I can't wait to see how it's going to unfold. At least
and he
looks chill. Like he looks like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. And here's the thing: is that it's not that you don't thank Eli Manning for like helping win two Super
yeah,
Bowls.
Twice.
He's a legend. He's
two.
A legend.
Hall of Famer, I think, right?
Two. Mm-hmm. First the New England Patriots, twice.
Wow.
Two Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. It's really like four.
Yeah.
So he won us essentially four Super Bowls. Twice we fucking beat them.
Yeah,
man. Two fucking times.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
What more do you want?
Yeah. So legend. He'll like not that he needs it, but he never has to pay for
nothing.
Anything in New York.
Period.
He's
a
good.
car service. He could park wherever
right.
he wants, like a cop.
Yo, if Russell Wilson never gets us another one or gets us back there, dude, he got us there twice. Should have had two, but guess what? Got one.
Twice.
You know?
Yes,
so it's like at some point.
Not
like,
everybody's the Patriots.
No, dude.
You can't win fucking go there 26 times.
That's truly an anomaly. I mean,
an
how
anomaly.
Good, right? Like,
and they're
to
probably
be...
going to go again if they stay healthy.
I know.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's depressing.
This motherfucker's 42.
When
He's
do you
42.
Truly,
how old
honestly,
are you? How old?
49.
I mean, do you like.
42. Do you know how old are you?
I'm 35.
How
but
old
like,
are you?
37.
If someone came to me right now and said, over under, Brady retires before 48. You have to think about it.
Dude, I have to think at 50. Just because if he gets to 46,
he's like, I'm
or,
going
like
to 50.
It's just rounding up, and it's just like
he's like
42 right now. And I mean, right now, and I want all of them to stay healthy. You
of
want
course,
all?
Yeah, it's course. Great for sports.
Stupid. He's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's a fucking animal.
He's on some next level shit too with his body, right? He's eating like bear cum and like
all
avocados
and the crazy shit is he's on that next level shit with his body. He obviously takes pristine care of it, and then you look at it and you go, this guy's like, his body shape is similar to mine.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there's nothing like he
yes,
when he
right.
takes his shirt, he looks fucked
he's
up.
Not, yeah, he's not that guy where like when you look at like when you look at Vernon Davis, even though he's old, is like you look like you could still play.
McCaffrey.
You're
Brady with his shirt cut. Off, like he looked you if you didn't see it was Tom Brady, be like, there's this is you if you pick it out like who's a quarterback, you'd be like, you wouldn't pick him.
No.
Right. Yeah, you look at like Cam Newton's body versus
Shannon Sharp, even you're like, you can
anyone's
still play.
Body, pretty much anyone's body. You could say like comedians' bodies are
yeah.
better.
Yeah, it's like all right, well, yeah. Yeah, it's like that is the pro athlete. No, that's Theo Vaughn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There is something about Brady, too, that's like, I mean, I feel like it's going to be just a straight up, if he pulls something or something gets torn to get him out. But it's like, again, I feel like he's just on this regimen or has you know, whatever close by to get shot up with or something.
And it's luck, too. Don't let him get hit.
Change the rules.
They keep him, you know, they keep him safe, but...
Do you think it's almost like with a pitcher in late innings where he's minimizing his even, like, throws during the day before the game?
I think his whole shit is scientific now. Like, he's got it down.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't blink without some doctor next to him going, you can blink now.
Yeah, you've had four blinks in an hour, Tom. Save that energy.
Slow it down.
And he, you know, at this point, there's no scenario. There's no game. There's no situation in the game that he hasn't been a part of.
Yeah.
So they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they could be down, like they're just like, all right, well, it's another half. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's
fucking crazy. I mean, you know, you have these fucking Boston fans and these New England fans, and you gotta suck it up.
Yeah, I know, right?
You can't argue with that.
Yeah, well, I know. Because what can you say?
Nothing.
You suck. Obviously, you don't.
Yeah.
Not even, you can't even say you suck. Yeah. You have to go, you're the best.
Yeah, would laugh at that as you were saying
it. It's a joke.
Yeah. Losing Antonio Brown, which I feel like, I mean, look, if he was on the team, I feel like they'd, you know, that's a great weapon to have.
Embarrassment of riches.
Right? Yeah. But I also don't feel like that made them fall out of the conversation at all.
No. Do they still have Brady? Yes. They still have Belichick? Yes. They're in.
Like, period.
That's it. As long as those two are together.
Period. And Edelman is a part of that magic, too.
How good would they have been with Antonio Brown? I mean,
it's not fair.
It's not, right?
No.
With that motherfucker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fair. You know what I wanted to ask you guys?
Sure.
You guys probably, I'm sure you probably covered this on the podcast at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The Shane Gillis situation.
Haven't, man.
Yeah, we
haven't. You haven't?
Yeah, no. We haven't really gotten into it.
Do you have to contextualize it?
Sure. I think we kind of know it's the SNL guy that was hired and then fired when they got the old video of him saying some slurs. I made this joke on the David Spade show where I said my wife is Chinese, so my opinion on this story depends entirely on if she's in the room or not. But yeah, like it is an interesting thing where we can go back now and find old shit and then just be like, because, okay, so the movie The Hangover, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a scene in The Hangover where Bradley Cooper is on the loudspeaker and says, paging Dr. Faggot.
Right.
Says that, okay? And he said, are we supposed to look at Bradley Cooper now because times have changed and we're a little more sensitive and the writers of that film and Todd Phillips and everyone involved in that film?
Yeah, everyone should be cast, all of them.
Yeah, is that like, oh, so now we can't hire any one of those guys?
That's a good point.
Because they were in that film and said that thing at that time? I don't know. And Bill Burr made a good point where he said, like, so we just have to discount all the good shit. Anyone has ever done in their lives for the one bad thing that they did. Hey,
also, it's got to go both ways. If these people are calling somebody out, then it's like, then let's go dig through your shit. Like, it's got to. I mean,
that happened recently. It was much, much lower level, but there was a guy who held up a sign on college game day. Said, "I have a GoFundMe, and it's GoFundMe for beer money." People found it. They donated him like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Really?
He donated it all to charity.
Ah.
And he donated all to charity. And then some reporter went through the kid's tweets. He's not a celebrity. He's a guy who held up a fucking sign on college game day. He went through the kid's tweets and said, hey, we shouldn't be supporting this kid. He said this thing back when he was 16. 16! So then all the kids...
16.
Dude,
so
the
then,
shit I said in
oh
thought
my
16,
God. I horrible. Mean. So then people went through the reporter's old tweets.
Oh,
good.
And found some shit. And was like, oh, well, how about when you said blankety blank? So now it's just a snake eating
so
its tail.
It's crazy. It's crazy that, I mean, like 16 tweets and what you say, and I don't know. I mean, in comedy, I don't know, man. It's fucked. I think it's fucked up.
I get why they did it. They had to. They had to put the fire out, and it was too much of a distraction. And you also are hiring the first Asian American cast member. I did think there could have been an opportunity to maybe like have them both on and like maybe have an opening sketch where they kind of address it, but
and
then you're forcing that Asian cast member to be a part of that maybe.
And, yeah.
And for his first
voice,
moment, which is not really.
Yeah. Voice for fair. His entire people.
I don't know, man. I mean,
it's hard.
Being in this business, every, you know, unfortunately what you say and do, even at that level, even him being relatively unknown is under a microscope, you know, but it's like, can we go back? Can we find some really funny stuff he's done to balance it out with, or was there none of that? And it was clearly, And I've also, like, I don't know the guy. I've heard some nice things about him, and then I've heard people say that was consistent with who he was. So it's like, I can't truly...
Yeah,
because I don't want to jump in that thing of, like, knowing somebody carries a lot of weight. And I did see some people coming to his aid, but not a ton, you know? So
I didn't like the comedians. The thing that I don't like about it is, you know, like, if there's a situation in the NBA or NFL, the majority of the times, there's a code.
Yeah.
There's times where they step out of it, but it's usually nipped in the butt.
Yeah.
They don't really shit on other NBA guys.
Right.
NFL guys won't really shit on other NFL guys.
Right.
There's exceptions, you know.
Sure.
But when it's personal, like, you could say guys could talk shit, you lost, blah, blah, blah. But when I'm talking about, like, when somebody's vulnerable, I didn't like other comedians shitting on them.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like, if we talk about it off mic and you're like, yo, so-and-so's a fucking asshole, blah, 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 that's one thing. But for me to come out and say, yeah, fire him. Or you to come out and say, you know, fire. Like, I'm like, yo, we all know how hard this business is. Yeah. We all know what it is to get a break on Saturday Night Live. So if you think he's an asshole or not an asshole, in my opinion, if you're a comedian and another actor, yo, don't shit on them. Like, for something like, don't add fuel to the fire.
And you're just opening it up to be like, you know, it's the whole, glass houses don't throw stones. You're inviting someone to then go like, oh, well, then he's a piece of shit. Well, let's look through every single thing you've tweeted.
That's true.
And if you look through every single thing I've tweeted, said on a podcast, I've probably said some fucked up shit.
Right, yeah. Right.
That if you judge by today's standards, it's probably fucked up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And but that's how I said it at the time. I was trying to be funny. You know,
right.
I thought it was funny. It wasn't okay. Like, but that's the thing is, as a comic, all we're trying to be is funny.
That's it.
I'm not trying to a message. I'm not trying to spark a movement. I'm just trying to make people laugh.
I know. I did kind of, agree with what he said too, where he was like, "Look, I push boundaries." He's like, and sometimes, you know, and whether, you know, everyone has a different definition of pushing boundaries, but he was also like, I'm taking a lot of swings and sometimes I miss.
Right.
And that everyone can attest to.
Oh.
I mean, that's truly what you're doing in every aspect of this business.
It's like,
whether
funny.
You're pitching something or writing something,
you're
throwing shit against the wall. And sometimes, so you can't, and if you are, making some headway in this world and business, like, you can't, and that's what you do, then people got to go, you know, oh, that's what he does. If he wasn't a comedian, he was doing that.
Sure.
Then maybe chastise him for. But
I'll always defend the attempt. I'll always defend the attempt of the comedian to be funny.
Right.
If they were funny, then great. But for the people that say, like, oh, certain topics should never be joked about, I'm like, they should be talked about because they're funny.
And you
can find the joke there. It's hard.
It wasn't a rant about Asians, was it? It was just a bad joke.
It's a bad. It wasn't good. But what's the? So the thing is, like, what's the penalty?
Yeah.
Never work again. Get a job as an insurance. So, like, what is?
Yeah.
And who are you to make the
There's no comedy police,
right?
There never has been. So that's the other thing too. It's like who gets to be the gatekeeper of saying what's
right,
okay, and what's not. We haven't determined that. So,
and
it's,
you know, going back to the Chappelle thing, like, let's just say I did the exact same show verbatim, I'd be done.
Yeah.
If I did that, or a lesser known comedian, or somebody who wasn't Dave Chappelle did the exact same show, word for word, beat for beat, they'd be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
he's talking about transsexuals. He's talking about, I mean, all the shit, the Michael Jackson, like, bye.
Yeah.
Bye. But because it's Dave Chappelle and you can't knock him down. And I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because I went after some writer from, what was it, Vice Magazine?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, you think you're gonna take down Dave Chappelle? Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. And who's never done it? Who's never walked on stage? Who's never had to?
But what makes you think
like,
that's your agenda? I'm gonna write this piece, and I'm gonna, because everybody wants to be like that person. I wrote the piece that started the, like, everybody wants to be the Ronan Farrow of political correctness. Like, I wrote the piece that started the tearaway that ended Dave. Yeah. So fuck you, bitch. That's what I was, because I was
Hannibal Buress was Hannibal Buress on accident. He didn't try to take down Cosby.
Yeah.
Right.
He said the thing, and then people ran with it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
I was offended because I was like, that could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
That could happen to anybody. Like, and you think you're going to take him down? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And that, and all he's trying to do is entertain you, and now you want him to never work again? Like, now you want Chappelle to never work again because he didn't entertain you in the way you felt
and you
like
laughed,
he should have?
You laughed.
That's the other thing gets me. Is like sometimes the leaked audio comes out of like certain comics saying
the things. Louis C.K. shit.
Yeah, and they're like, well, that's not funny. It's like the whole room laughed. The whole,
and
yeah.
why didn't anyone yeah. walk out during the Louis C.K. jokes that he made? Whether they're funny, not funny, out of color, offensive to the people. No one said anything that night.
Yeah,
I don't hear anybody huffing and puffing. Oh my God. They didn't, right. They laughed.
Yeah. Now, if the comic says something and then the whole room gasps, walks, leaves, okay, well then that's something. But then if everyone's sitting in the room laughing... like
yeah
and people it's hard to separate like for some people it's hard to separate the joke and who they and what they think of the person
yep
because it's like I can say Bill Cosby's himself is one of the greatest comedy specials of all time
right
does that mean that I think Bill Cosby is a good human being
right
of course
yes.
not
like, yes it does yes I'm tweeting that
he just said that
he just said that it's real you just said that
yeah
Brad.
You think he's yeah yeah
you
yeah
think he's the best you want him to be your dad yes. you want to be your ghost dad and yes. your real dad
and I just feel that like if a comic says something that you find truly offensive and it hurts you and all that the best thing you could do is not listen to that comedian anymore
right
yeah do you forget that you have a choice
yeah.
you don't have to blog about it huh. there's at this day and age there are so many options for things to watch and listen to for you to get like so pent up on one thing it's like change the channel for lack of a better
I hate DJ Khaled when he's on when he's on performing I will not watch that shit because he has three catchphrases
here's another one
and yet he gets all the credit for it which is fucking bullshit he says DJ Khaled we the best and another one and he gets the credit for it should I think he should never work again
right
no
yes right. you just said that yes you did
you said
yeah.
that and you, said you love and Bill Cosby and everything Bill Cosby. About Bill Cosby
that's at Brad Williams comic on Instagram
fucking bring him down bring this fucking
cancel
down
culture
stop this motherfucker
yo I heard you on
I will not be appearing in Spokane next weekend.
I saw you on Hot Ones. I think it was you did a little bit ago. How long ago?
About a year and some change
I fucking
ago.
Love that show.
Yeah, it's
you just, were so good on it.
Thank you.
And because the Sean is that
yeah,
the,
yeah yeah yeah
so, asked such good questions.
Yeah,
and you told one, and you don't have to completely replay it, but it was about the picture of you and it was Singleton, right? And
Tupac
and Cube.
Oh, man.
Yep.
And
yep.
How you kind of like
and Kia Cube Singleton Tupac.
Well, you just give because that's I mean to me that is like I think we've all in our journey been a part of photos. Or been in situations where one got snapped, and you're just like, dude, that should be blown up and put above my my on my ceiling.
Yeah.
There should be a statue of it outside. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's iconic.
It was cool.
What's the story behind that?
So it was the rap party for John Singleton's second film, Poetic Justice.
All right.
And you know, it was. I had a minuscule part in there, and I had
that's
met John
Tupac. That's Janet Jackson.
Joe Torre, and I had a small part in it. I mean, tiny little part, but I was so hyped on being a part of it. I had met John, and it was such an excitement about Boys in the Hood. And at the rap party, it was somewhere like you know towards the hood in L.A. off La Brea or Crenshaw. I can't remember. It was a while ago, and there was two cool things about that night. I met Snoop Dogg for the first time. It's when he first came out with Deep Cover. Like, he hadn't even been to New York. He was like, you know, I was like, yo, New York, we fuck with you. He was like, really? And I was like, yeah. He was like, I haven't been there yet. I was like, oh, shit. He had just came out.
Oh, my
God. It was before his first record. It was before the Chronic came out. He had just put out that one song. And then a few minutes later, I watched him. I witnessed him meeting Tupac. For the first time.
What?
Like they battled each other on the mic. They both knew each other where and it wasn't like tense like a fight, but
that's
it was
like
kinda,
watching McCartney meet Lennon.
I watched
like, are
it.
You kidding
I
me?
I saw it with my own two eyes.
That's historic.
It was cool. And then consequently that night, because I told that story to Snoop and because he remembers the night too, because it was obviously the first night he met Pac.
I'm surprised Snoop can remember anything.
Yo, he's got a fucking memory
I've
like
heard that about
sharp.
Him. I've
like
heard that
everything.
About him, actually.
Yeah. He remembers everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He consequently that same night smoked his first blunt that Tupac rolled for him, which I didn't see that, but I was like, that should be a national holiday.
It should be.
That's like a weed. That's like a game changing moment. Like he smoked
the day Snoop's first blunt.
First blunt. He had never smoked blunts. He smoked joints, and he had never smoked.
Tupac Snoop's first blunt should be a children's book.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
it's just like Christmas
when he grew up. He
one blunt. One blunt can change the world.
Exactly.
It did.
Completely did.
Oh, rolled by Pac.
Rolled by Tupac. So he, when I told this sort of picture, and that picture got it alive when I told it on Snoop's GGN show, and he was tripping on it and brought back so many memories to him. And then he told the story about him smoking the blunt for the first time. And then later on that night, there was a photographer. Then this is 94, yeah. 5. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't like everybody had cameras. There was a photographer there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And he was taking photos. And the late, great John Singleton, who just passed and was such a fucking good dude, who I got to work with Poetic Justice and Higher Learning. And he was really remained a friend and somebody who just was so good at staying in touch. I saw him last in I believe it was March or February. Fuck. He said, "I heard you're doing stand-up. I'm going to come out of the improv tonight." And he came, and like that's the last time I saw John. Like he was one of those people. Yeah, like he just came. He was like, "Oh, you got it." And, you know, like he was heckling me on stage and like, you know, talk about this, talk about it, you know. But that night, there was Cube, John, and Tupac were getting ready to take a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And John was like, "Get in here, Mike. Get in here, Mike." And I was like, and that's why I'm on the end.
Because he
was like, "Get in there." And I got in there. But I remember when we took the photo, like, I remember the moment because I was like, I was standing next to three people I had such reverence for. It was Cube in his prime.
Absolutely.
John right after Boys in the Hood, and Tupac in the middle of his life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember the whole thing, and like maybe 10 or 12 years ago that picture resurfaced, and I when I saw it, I was like, I knew where it was, when it was, because you know, when you're that young and you know, you remember so many things so clearly, and those guys and the excitement that I had about being an actor and a young actor and being around people that I love so much, and you're in your 20s. I don't know, you sort of things sort of download into your system differently, I feel, when you're younger. But I remembered it, and that's the story of that photo, and it's something like, I'm so glad that it got taken, because I remember it. That's I remember it. And
you also jumped into it in a like you're positioned like you're a part of it, because you know sometimes when people are like, "Yo, get in this real quick," you can do an awkward like, "Eh?"
No, I know.
And you're like, "Well, that guy clearly like, jumped in."
Everybody's got like a serious face on, and I'm kind of.
You're John there. Said, you're supposed to be there. Yep.
John said, "Come on, get in this photo, Mike. Get in this photo, Mike," because he was a fan of mine, you know, and
do you think at the time that Pac and Cube were like looking over, like, why the fuck does this kid have to come fuck our photo up?
Nah, they were cool with me. I mean, we all knew each other. Like when you're, you know, like we all, like I hadn't known Cube from around, and you know, Pac was a you know, like I don't want to say fan, like I don't, but like he respected my shit.
Okay,
and
okay.
Oh my God.
You know, with Tupac, when he was during that time, like you knew he was special.
Yeah.
Beyond just like, you know, the normal, like, this guy's talented. Like, you knew there was, like, I don't know, some sort of, like, light on him. You just knew it. Like, from his work, his energy. Like, he just was special, you know? Yeah. Like, and when I worked with him in that little part in Poetic Justice, like, it was to work with Tupac. Like, and he hadn't gotten any crazy trouble. Like, I fucked with him. I loved him, and I was just such a fan of his. And the crazy thing about how I heard about Tupac is because me and Jada Pinkett had our first agents together.
Oh, wow.
And I remember she didn't even have a car. I drove her to her first TV audition that she wound up getting. But we were getting to know each other, talking, bullshitting around. And she told me, she said, "You know, my friend Tupac, he's going to wind up being a big, big star. He's going to be a big rapper and a big movie star." And I was like, get the fuck out of it. Because at the time, there was no rappers who were.
No.
Right. But she, and then she was like, "I'm telling you." I was like, yeah.
I heard that about him too, about being a big movie star, right? I heard that was just like on his path.
You
know,
he was going to do that. And this is before he even came out with Digital Underground. Like, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, what's his name? Tupac?
Yeah, it's not a movie star name.
Yeah, they ain't no movie. And but she was like, "Yo, I'm telling you, he's going to be a big fucking deal." He hadn't done shit. And sure enough, like, it was just. I mean, that dude was a fuck 25 years old.
Oh, yeah. Think that's Eddie Murphy shit, you know, where you got that much skill set at that age.
And like, before, if you're younger than that, you go, oh, yeah, of course they can accomplish that at age 25. Then you get older than that, you're like, how the fuck did they do that?
It was in, like, 5 years.
Yeah,
like,
people like, think that, like, how old was Biggie when he died?
25.
25!
25.
That's insane. Jesus Christ, that you got to do all that and accomplish all that in 25.
Like, the first record came out, they were 20, 21, 19. Crazy. So to be like so fucking young and then to have it cut short like that,
is
crazy.
Is it even more insane to look back at like that photo of Cube and then see what Cube's doing now with like just... He's an entrepreneur.
You guys
he's
working together on Big Three, you know?
Yeah, like, that's madness.
He's a fucking game changer.
Yeah, right.
Like, I if Ice Cube has an idea, you have to listen. He left NWA at the peak of NWA.
Mm-hmm.
He started acting, started doing dramatic acting, then went from dramatic acting to Are We There Yet?
Yeah, family comedies.
To like, I'm going to start a Big Three basketball league. What? To, you know, it's in its fourth year to,
if
know.
Cube came up to you right now and said, hey, dude, I'm going to start this company where we're drinking our own urine.
Yes.
Be like, okay, that's what we're going to do in 4 years.
What are we calling it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we doing? Like, are we doing it now? Like, Our own urine? Yeah. Like, are we mixing and matching?
I got Brad Williams to play Bill Cosby in a story about Bill Cosby. Right. Putting him in blackface. You in?
Yeah, you'd be like, all right, sure. Cube, you got it.
He's a forward thinker. And he's an outside the box thinking motherfucker, and he's like his track record, it proves it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
great.
Yeah, you never would have thought when Ice Cube came out with NWA with the crack tooth and the Jerichos, you never would have thought he'd be. You just wouldn't. And also with rappers, the dream was you couldn't even dream that big. But him, guys like him, Jay-Z, like, I know he could, in his wildest dreams, you couldn't imagine that hip-hop, like what Biggie said, would take it this far. But these motherfuckers took it to a different level.
And for the younger fans that don't really understand what that is, to see Cube back then and to see Cube now, because you've only known him as one thing, that would be like Tekashi 6ix9ine hosting a fucking Barney-type children's show in 20 years.
Yeah. So close to it.
Like, that's
that. Isn't that crazy? There's kids out there that are just like, Ice Cube, oh, you mean the star of Are We There Yet?
Yeah.
And you're like,
they don't know him as
you're like,
talking about.
No, you mean one of the scariest guys on
fuck
the planet?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. I mean, he wrote that shit.
Yeah.
When he was like 16.
What'd you think of the movie?
Loved it.
Yeah.
It was dope.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was dope.
I watched it maybe 15 times.
It was dope.
Just
it was dope.
Truly like, yeah.
Yeah. And
Giamatti too in there. I mean,
that's one of those films where if it's on and you come across it,
oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to sit down for the
really
next hour and a half.
Good.
Yeah.
It really is. Cube's
son
good.
Was so good. I mean, Jesus so Christ.
Good. That's
his son, O'Shea, is a big basketball fan.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic internet troll too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's great.
I was gonna say, do you respect like the same way in comedy? Like, I feel like you've kind of put yourself at the top of the dealing with trolls. Do you, when you see other people doing it, are you like,
well, he's good because
be the next guy up?
Yeah, he's good. Cube's son, who played him in the movie, he's good because he talks a lot of shit. He loves his sports. He loves his pop culture. He does it. His is more like tongue in cheek, but he's a great internet troll.
Here's what I love about your beefing online. It's the same way that I play basketball. It's like when I get physical, like in the post, if I'm like bumping and bruising and you're pushing back, I'm all for that. I'm like, oh, we're just trying to compete right now. But if like I'm pushing and then you're like, whoa, what's with the, you know, quit boxing out so hard. Then I'm like, dude, are you here to play or not? So I've heard you say like, if someone fires at you and you look at their picture and you'll fire back, it's like, all right, we'll just be down to go back and forth, but don't get all sensitive and like back off.
Because I think a lot of times
you got to give and take it, right?
You got to give it and take it. And I think a lot of times people don't think, you know, celebrities are going to fire back, but you know everything about me. There's 27, 28, 29 years of photos you could pick from.
Right.
You know, you could Wikipedia me, get the real information, fake information, made up information. But if you talk shit to me and you know, I might be taking a shit, I might be in the dentist office waiting and I see it and all I see is a picture of your wife and her fucked up teeth. And I'm not going to do a deep dive on your whole, I'm going to talk about your wife and her fucked up teeth.
Yeah, that's
and
all I got to work with.
That's it. So don't get mad when I tell you, like, oh, you're talking about, I'm talking about your wife's fucked up teeth. You dirty fucking dog. If you got a picture of your fucking pops and he's got like a club foot, he could get it too. You know, so it's probably not the best thing to do, but that's my personal shit talking rule. If you're going to talk shit, be ready for
and
me
it's
to...
it's all in good spirits,
it's
right?
All good
like,
spirit.
What are you trying to like...
Why you got a picture of your father's club foot on there anyway? You should know. If
you know he's embarrassed about that. Yeah. He's got another foot.
You think he's
put the good
the
one up
foot?
There.
Yeah. It's not like he thinks that's good. Yes. You're celebrating his club foot. So now I'm going to celebrate it all. Yeah.
It's so funny when like someone will heckle during a comedy show or something and then you respond with something about them. They're like, well, why'd you talk about that? You're like... because I don't know your life.
I don't know anything about you.
I'm doing a snap judgment on you, and all I got is is your fucked up haircut or your stupid nose ring or whatever the hell.
Right.
That's all you have to work with. So, of course, you're going to use it.
And you got balls talking shit with a fucking nose ring.
Yeah.
Because you
know I could just reach down and grab that and pull, right?
Yeah,
like,
pull
you know that shit.
Up here, motherfucker.
Like an ox.
Well, shit, dude. You're the best.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming by, man.
Thank you.
And
go see him live.
DC Improv, October 4th through the 6th.
Yep.
And Caroline's Times Square.
If you're in the New York area, 17. See the whole
Housewives.
Town,
New York Housewives. Can you make an appearance?
would you bring
one up on stage?
I would be too nervous. if a Real Housewife of New York came to see me performing, I got to be honest, like I wouldn't be able to make eye contact with
them. Who would you be more nervous about being at your show? Obama, Regis Philbin, Latrell Sprewell, or the Real Housewives.
No bullshit. You know, certain people, like if you have somebody like you don't want to make eye contact with.
Yeah.
If any of the Housewives ever came to see my show, I wouldn't look down. Like I would just be like, ignore them.
NeNe Leakes.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Go.
I wouldn't even fucking look at
her. Go to the show, NeNe.
I would be too freaked out.
Where all the ticket info?
MichaelRapaportComedy.com. Let me ask you my final question.
Yeah. Sure.
Predictions. Ooh. NBA training camp has just started.
I love this dude.
Adam Ray. We know not. We know what we know, and we know what we don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We know I don't have a team, so who do I root for? Right?
No. Not even root for. Who do you think? Not who do you want? Who do you think is going to win the NBA championship this year? Based on everything we know right now, which is not much.
Mm. But by the way, I love this question. This is the best part about it, because like literally day one of training camp.
It just started. You haven't figured this shit out yet.
Stephen A. Smith. They're all doing this right now. By the way, like just the early like the day one. Who?
It's so stupid, but
yeah, but it's fun, man, because you can kind of. I mean, you know, just based on even just seeing like pictures of the guys together.
And you don't know about injuries. You don't know about anything.
Right. Look, so we know what we know. We know what we don't know. Adam, NBA Championship 2020.
I'll tell you what. I think the Warriors are going to be surprisingly exciting.
I agree.
I think D'Angelo, I think it's just like when you put guys in different environments with guys that win like that and that culture and Kerr and dude Curry and like Clay will probably come back at the end of the season. No, or do you think?
So.
Me too, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's a motherfucker.
Dude, I just think D'Angelo is going to elevate to another level with that squad.
I agree.
And I think they're going to surprise people.
He was sniffing the fucking All-Star game last year.
I know, dude. I don't know if they're going to go to the conference finals, but I think they're going to. I would not want to play them in the early rounds of the
playoffs. Willie Cauley Stein's on that team.
Yeah,
they have,
dude.
You know,
they're dangerous.
So, but that's not what I asked you.
Okay, all right.
I didn't ask for an overall summary of the whole league. The champion. You could say who they're going to be playing. Who you could do the two.
Now there's like a who do I want and who do I think? Do you do that?
Who do
or
you think?
Just,
who do you think?
Who do I think?
It's not who you want. Right. I could say, I want the Knicks to win.
I know. Yeah.
I'm not going to bring them up and bring the fucking show to a stop
and have fucking James Dolan ban you from Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I might be already.
Although I did see Julius Randle at the U.S. Open and he looked like he was ready to go. He looks like a 2020 guy ready to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, what does that get you? Ask Kevin Love.
Who you got? Cause
Jesus Christ, Adam.
Because I got...
We'll come back to you.
I got Lakers-Bucks in the finals with Bucks winning the title.
Wow.
I was going to say Bucks. You're biased with the Lake show.
Sure. Hometown team and no Clippers. Sorry, I'm not a Clippers fan. But if they make the final, I won't be surprised. I'll be like, wow, Kawhi's that.
I'm gonna go Lake show. I'm gonna go Lake show.
To win the championship.
Yeah, I think LeBron's just going to find another gear. I feel like it's a do or die year for him too. Because if they don't do it, AD will find. Is he only on a 1 year deal?
I'm not sure about.
I know that there's like talks of him going to New York if this doesn't work out very soon. So it's either 1 or 2, whatever. So this is a do or die. LeBron's going to play out of his mind this year. T- to make this all work and to try to fucking, now he's got some pieces. I bet some other piece will join midway through the season, but I just feel like he's going to be out of his mind and we're going to get vintage LeBron, who's going to be able to carry the load of the team for 38 to 42 minutes.
All right.
And
I hope so. God, I hope so.
And I think the Bucks might get there. Yeah. They're going to lose.
Sixers going to be a problem too.
Oh, wow, dude.
They're a problem. Yeah,
they are a problem, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's all injury-based and all that shit. But it's going to be Tobias Harris. And it's going to be
Ken Horford there now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buckets in Miami, I think, is fun, but it's not going to make a splash. He doesn't give a fuck, does he?
He doesn't give a fuck.
He's like, oh, yeah, just get me to that tax-free city.
Yeah, I'll get my 25.
Let me go get Coffee Bean with Riley.
He doesn't give a fuck. No. He doesn't give a fuck. All right, I'll take those predictions.
Raptors not even in the conversation, huh?
They'll be competitive, but you got to have a guy.
Who's your guy?
To win the championship, you got to have.
And that's why I'm not totally sold on the Clippers, man. I think you got too many guys.
Too many guys? You got two guys.
I think Paul George is good being the second guy. I think they're if everybody's healthy, they're going to be a problem. The Clippers are going to be a fucking problem.
The Rockets are going to be a problem. How about you?
Two. You know, I don't want it. I don't want it, but two. I had a feeling the other day, and it came on me like a chill, like a bad feeling. It wasn't a good feeling.
Right.
I don't want the Lakers. Sure. But I had a feeling of the Lakers versus the Sixers in the finals and the Lakers winning. I don't want that to happen.
That'd be awesome, dude. Just for the vintage clips that they would pull up. Costas comes back to, like, commentate.
The fucking Bobby Jones, Caldwell Jones, Al Dawkins.
Brent Musburger coming back.
Come on, man.
Yeah, dude.
They need that shit.
Playing the old clips of
John Tesh plays it live in the middle of the court.
Andrew Tony and shit. Yeah. You know, like, that would be... That would be sick.
NBA is going to be exciting this year, man.
It's ridiculous. Well, we got to come. I'll come back on. We'll do a full NBA.
Sixers Lakers. I mean, then we get like AI highlights with like Tyrone Hill versus
stepping over him.
Yeah,
it'll be great.
It'll be sick.
All right, dude. Well, are you going to go to games and stuff this year too? Or?
Hell yeah!
Do you know it's $47,000 for a courtside seat? I saw 2 weeks ago for Lakers Clippers
for one ticket.
I think for the pair.
$47,000?
Yeah, courtside.
So we're going to start a GoFundMe right now because Adam and I want to be there and we want to get on the big screen.
Do you think there'll be a bigger game in the last 5 years in the NBA and maybe even 10?
I would say like
regular season game.
I'd say like
those two teams have never been that.
Never.
Even at the height of Kobe and Shaq,
Clippers
still had who?
Cassell and Brand? Not like this.
They've never been good at the same time.
Never been good at the same time.
Not like this. Even with the Blake CP3.
Yeah.
LeBron and Kawhi are arguably two of the highest profile, right, that are playing currently.
He just won the fucking championship.
Yeah. And LeBron is LeBron.
Yeah. I mean, this motherfucker, like, we forget that Toronto, like, this ring is sort of the forgotten ring. They just won the championship. Yeah. I don't care about the injuries. Those are the championship, and he's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be stupid literally every night. And it's not going to be like for the fair weather fan of the NBA, we're like, oh, we could watch Christmas. It's like, you're going to want to watch the games of preseason.
Every night.
I know, dude.
It's going to be
some wild shit going on.
What's Golden State going to do? Denver,
Utah,
New Orleans.
Oh yeah,
New Orleans.
They're going to be
Zion.
Portland still.
Zion, Zoe. Like Portland's going to be
always in the conversation.
They're going to be like, yo, you don't forget about us. We're going to make it hard for you.
Yeah. Whiteside going there trying to get his mojo back.
Yeah, like, it's going to be stupid. It's going to be. Yeah, I mean, you
can't
wait. Like, any night there could be like, yo, Russ and Harden went for 40 each.
Right.
Stupid shit's going
to
be going on.
Now, how do we equate this to Housewives? What you just said.
Just like I could go. I don't want to bore your audience.
If there was a reunion show,
but like,
we're coming to the end. I want to keep people watching all the way through, but 100% easily.
Maybe there's a great show that we're like sleeping on where it's literally we talk half hour NBA, we talk half hour Housewives. Like, what you could get guys and girls that could watch that show together.
It would be a dream for me. Talk about church and state. It's a church and state situation. Like, sometimes when we talk about Housewives on stage, like, even when I bring it up, I can literally see guys, like, their eyes fluttering. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, even when I bring it up, they're like, there's no, why are you talking? Yeah. Like, I see them.
Say something about Odell Beckham.
Their eyes are fluttering. Like, where the fuck am I?
So, yeah.
MichaelRapaportComedy.com for tickets. Go see it. You're killing it, man.
I appreciate
you're really
you guys.
Genuinely
you guys
super
support.
Funny, dude. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
We love you.
No worries.
Episodes on iTunes or your phone. everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?